This is HPR episode 2713 entitled, Resources in 4X Game. It is hosted by Tuku Toroto, and is about 21 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, one way to implement data types for raw resources in Haskell.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, listeners. I'm Tuukka, and you are listening to the Hacker Public Radio. Today I'm going to talk about a little bit how to one way of implementing resources in a 4X game written in a Haskell. And by resources, I mean raw resources like oil or gold or stone and such. Not resources as images and sounds. So, when I started with that, it sounded pretty simple, but it got pretty tangled in the end. And I'm not even doing a simple model. I'm writing this with my 6-year-old kid. They have lots of ideas about how the game should work and what kind of things we should add in. And one of the things was that it has to have tons of different kinds of resources, like oil, gold, silver, iron, plastic, wood, different kinds of stones I said already. But I wanted something simple that I can code before I retire. And I was briefly considering a trading system, decided against it at this point. So the trading isn't going to be integral part of the resource management. At this time, at least. So there's going to be three different kinds of resources: biological, mechanical, and chemical. So these are very high-level abstraction, and three is a nice amount, I think. Gives you enough of things to manage without getting too detailed. And maybe I'm going to add exotic ones later. These would be produced in few planets and needed for special purposes. They might be tradable, but that would mean that I have to implement trading and diplomacy at the point when I'm doing that. So that part is all in the air. The main thing here was that I wanted more or less a type-safe system. So not accidentally mixing resources in the code and not accidentally mixing their usage, like if you have a biological resources reserved if you have a number that tells that these are biological resources, you don't accidentally mix that with, say, chemical resources, and if you have info that says that this is how much a project cost, you don't accidentally mix it with info that tells how much you actually have. And I want it not to be too tedious to code. So something simple, flexible, and type safe enough. First step, raw resource in general. Now is a good time to have a look at the show notes I have spelled these things out there in detail, but the raw resource is a new type, and basically it reads as a new type, raw resource R equals raw resource, paren open, unraw resource, double colon, int, paren closed. Mattis means that raw resource is something that is represented as an int, integer, and it has a type parameter on the left side of the equation, on the type constructor side, but that type parameter isn't used on the right side, on the value constructor. This is a phantom type. So when you are declaring a type of a raw resource, saying that something is a raw resource, you have to specify what kind of raw resource it is. But when you are using it in the code, you don't have to specify. When you're creating a new raw resource, you don't specify what type of it is. Compiler will infer for you what type you need in that specific context, and it will keep track that you don't accidentally mix them. And this means that I achieve type safety, and I don't have to type out the kind of raw resource I'm handling all the time. And then there's three types that represent resource types. These are data biological equals biological, and data mechanical equals mechanical, and data chemical equals chemical. These are just simple types that have one value. So, for example, if I define that I have 100 units of biological resource, and this could be, for example, harvest. It is first I have to tell the type, it's harvest, double colon, raw resource, biological, and then the actual assignment, harvest equals raw resource 100. And I'm fairly happy with this system. And it is pretty common case that I have to treat the raw resources as numbers. It makes like I have to add them together, I have to subtract them from each other. Like if a farm is collecting a harvest after year after year after year, they just keep summing those results together to get the total. And if somebody is eating the produced by the harvest, you just subtract the amount that they are eating. So I need numbers. And I don't want to construct and destruct, take apart the raw resource in the data all the time. So I define a type class instance. There's an instance, there's a type class num that defines common operations like addition, subtraction, multiplication, taking the absolute value, checking is the number positive or negative, and creating a new numbers from the classes of the integers or numbers that are left. And this is again I'm spelling this out in the show notes, but it's basically just defining the instance num raw resource D there, and then the definition of each of the functions that I mentioned a second ago. And here, when I'm defining the instance, I'm using the raw resource T, because the raw resource takes a one type parameter, but I'm nowhere telling what this T is in the implementation of those functions. This means that these functions work with any raw resource, regardless of the type of raw resource, if it's biological, mechanical, or chemical. But these will take care that each raw resource being summed, subtracted, are of the same type. So I can add two raw resources together with a plus sign, and the compiler will make sure that they are of the correct type. And this is what I like, that it's detected on the compilation time and not during the runtime. Another thing that I need to do is comparing them. Like the equality we already have, that can be automatically derived when defining the raw resource. But yeah, smaller, bigger things is sometimes important. So again, there's a type class, ord, that I'm going to create instance, which is reads instance ord inside parents raw resource p there. And then there's only the implementation for the smaller or equal to function that deconstructs raw resource raw resources given as a parameters to it and compares the integer values. And defining one function is enough, because then the greater than and greater than and equal and such are defined in terms of this one and the equals function that I have already defined. So I don't have to define more than one function. In some cases, because of some specific optimization, one could define rest of the functions in the same manner, but in this case, I don't see need for that. Third common thing to do with the raw resource is aggregate bunch of them together. Like if you have a planet that has 30 farms and all of them are producing a harvest and collecting it at one point, I have a list of raw resource that I want to add together. And you guessed right, there's a simple way of doing this, and that way is monoid. Once again, I talked about monoids last time in detail. So we need two instances, semigroup and monoid, because monoid needs a semigroup. And these are just adding them. The semigroup is for semigroup instance has that diamond operation that takes two parameters and just add them together. I don't have to deconstruct the parameters to get the hold of the int, because earlier we defined the num instance. We can just add them together. And the monoid instance needs a one function, empty or unempty, that is just raw resource zero. The unit or zero element is a raw resource zero. Both defined again as a raw resource t. So we are keeping track of that, or rather the compiler is keeping track of that we are not mixing the different types of the raw resources. And that is really the thing that I was after with this, that the compiler keeps track of that we don't mix the resources, and we don't have to keep spelling that out. But like I mentioned earlier, there are three different kinds of resources: chemical, biological, and mechanical. And I don't want to create many variables to move things around and manually keep track of them. So I want to group them together. So when we are talking about raw resources, we have these three things together. And this is a record called data raw resource RR equals to raw resources. And then three fields that are of type raw resource. And here I'm spelling them out, that there's a raw resource mechanical, raw resource biological, and raw resource chemical inside of the raw resources. Because because the compiler needs that information. And again, there's a type variable in the definition, but it's not used into the right side of the equation. So this is again a phantom type. And here the type parameter is used to keep track of what's the meaning of this, or what is the usage of this raw resource thing we have it. And it can be cost of some project, how fast the building of that project is progressing currently, how much work is left, how much construction has been done, how much resources we do have available. So we can say that we have 500 units of all resources, and then this project is worth of 1,000 resources, building is progressing 100 units per turn of each of them, and we have done 100 units so far, and there's 400 units of work left. Neat little, at least in my opinion, to make sure that you don't mix up the things. And as earlier, we sometimes want to combine these things. For example, we have a planetary level construction project consisting of multiple buildings. And somebody says that I want to know how much of resources we need altogether. And how do we do that again? List of items that we want to combine together. And that in this case means again, in this case means that it's a monoid once again. So defining a semigroup and monoid as before, but this time for the raw resources instead of a raw resource. And if you check the show notes, you noticed how the, for example, the semigroup instance is defined using the semigroup definition of the raw resource, and monoid instance is defined using a monoid of the raw resource. Because if one item, if there's a way to combine those single items that are held in the record, then the semigroup of that record is combining those items one by one. Like in this game semigroup is combining of the semigroup, result of the semigroup is raw resources again, where the first record element is the combination of the first elements, second is the combination of the second elements of those two raw resources, and third one is combination of the third ones. Like you combine mechanical resources, you combine the biological resources, and you combine the chemical resources. Likewise, the monoid, empty, is, you know that the empty of the raw resource. So you can just say that for the raw resources, the empty is empty for each of the record fields. And this I actually even noticed when I was doing this episode and writing the show notes. I had defined the empty for the raw resources, and said, explicitly stating that the mechanical resources is the raw resource 0, biological resources equals raw resource 0, and chemical resource equals to raw resource 0. Then I can just simply define it to be mechanical resource equals to empty. Use the definition that for the single raw resource that I wrote out earlier. Not a big thing, but maybe makes the code look nicer. Okay, so in the future, if I add exotic resources like dilithium, unobtainium, adamantium, what you name it, I just have to add a new raw resource data there, in the same way that there is now three, biological, mechanical, and chemical. I can just say that the data dilithium equals dilithium. And the system here works without any changes. I cannot hold the dilithium in the raw resources record, but that probably won't be the case anyway. These exotic resources will be something that is set to aside and keep track separately because they are so rare and they have a, if I'm adding them, they will be rare and they will have specific purposes and so on. But I think I'm going to call it off at this point. This explains in sufficient detail what I'm doing with the resources, and adding anything more would be just dragging out the episode. So have you written something similar? Or have you had a game where you had resource management? I would be interested in hearing that. You could record an episode about that. Or what do you think about the approach in general? Okay, until next time, this is Tuukka. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.